In Scripture, you've heard and read about being the light of the world. You've probably heard that Jesus Christ said, "You are the light of the world." And light is a big part of metaphysics. We talk about calling the light. We talk about being surrounded by it. We talk about living and moving in it. And sometimes I think we forget just what that means, because sometimes by repetition, we use something so much that it almost loses its meaning. We say the word and over again, and we say, "We'll send the light," or "We see you enveloped by light." And that almost becomes a catchphrase to end every prayer. But these words mean something. That's why they persist. The light is obviously stronger than the darkness. Eric Butterworth said about light and dark, he said, "Where does dark go when you flip on a switch in a dark room?" It really wasn't the reality of that room. Light dispels everything unlike itself. So when Christ Jesus said, "You're the light of the world, and don't hide your light under a bushel," light was an important word to Christ Jesus. It's also an important word to the great spiritual teachers who talked about this inner light, this inner candle flame that goes before you no matter what happens. It's something that we nurture and nourish through prayer, meditation, contemplation, just sits, whatever you want to call them. Some of my best meditation time is spent in a very unorthodox way. I don't question the method so much, I question the result. And each one of us have ways and things that work that we might not call particularly holy or sacred at the moment, but if we remember that every moment really is sacred, then we can go into what is right for us without worrying if it conforms to what somebody says meditation or contemplation should look like. I can do that very well with cats. They're quiet, and they give me a great deal of energy. And I'm glad that they do that at the time, because most other times they worry me. And they're in things they shouldn't be. But at that moment, I get a great deal of great energy from animals, particularly kitty cats. So you see, it doesn't matter particularly how you let your light shine or what you do to call it forth. It matters that you do it. I think, for example, that our work in life, and I don't mean our jobs, but our work is to enlighten this world. And when you're happy, and when you're joyful, and when you feel like you have made the right decisions for yourself, you lift everybody. Because it is my belief, and it's the belief of many people who've gone before me, that we are one mind connected by the thoughts that we think. So that when you think a thought of joy or happiness, you're connecting with everybody else who thinks like that. And also, when you have feelings of sadness or anger or guilt or regret, you're connecting with those who think like that. Deepak Chopra calls this the field of pure potentiality. Wayne Dyer called it a ground of being. There's all kinds of ways to describe it. I'm not too interested in the name. I'm interested in the experience. So when I say light up your life, I mean, literally, bring yourself present to this moment. And the problem is that sometimes this moment seems so redundant and so typical. But we look back and we'll see that those moments that comprised then were really the ones that we loved, and they were gone quickly. I mean, now goes. I could say, look at now, and by the time I'm finished with getting that sentence out, it's another now. So I've decided it's eternal now. And the light is eternal. And so you put those together and you come in line and you come into tune with that. Now, I want to say a little something about using the light and what is inside you. The conformity to a certain spiritual rule is something that I've had a little bit of issue with, because many people say you have to do it this way. You have to let your light shine that way. You've got to be a part of this group. You've got to leave that group. I think the Baptist to the Buddhist can be enlightened in their own way. I feel very ecumenical in this. And in a world of denominations that prize separation, it's difficult to feel that because so many people take an identity and say, I am this. And many times they put a lid on it and say, and that's it, and I'm finished. There's a saying that was I heard 15 years ago, and it was, I'm a Methodist born and a Methodist bred, and when I'm gone, there'll be a Methodist dead. That is sort of funny, but it's also sort of sad because it says right here is the end, and I don't move on. I have quit growing because of my label. I have decided to encompass the light only to this group at this time. When really we're called to take our light into places that are sometimes unorthodox and most of the time need healing. There is a place for each one of us. There is a place that you're needed and a way that your light can shine for you or somebody else. Sometimes the best thing that you can do is give that light to yourself, to heal yourself of things that you know aren't for your highest good, for things that you'd like to release. Sometimes the best thing you can do is share that with somebody else who's going through a difficult time. And one of the things that you can do that's best is not have a difficult time yourself when you're dealing with someone who's having a difficult time. In other words, sympathy and empathy are wonderful, but you can overdose on that inside and become part of affirming their weakness or the very thing they're trying to get over, and you're not even aware of it in the name of sympathy. Sometimes it's very, very compassionate and sympathetic to stand back and be an example and say, I'm here for you, I love you, but I'm not going to be part of your problem and make it expand, to give undue attention to something that you're trying to get through right now. In other words, sometimes we get so excited about the labels and the moment and perhaps the drama that we forget to live in a joy-filled and happy way. I know I have been attuned to the suffering of folks sometimes so much that I'm not a help to them. I forget my light. I don't let it shine. I become part of their problem or their drama and not their solution. Good teachers, great thinkers, great healers call forth from you and very rarely say to you. They may say, this has worked for me. This is what I find helpful. But they encourage you to come back in yourself and stand in your own integrity. Controlled people are secure. But at what price for that security? There is a wisdom in insecurity. And that wisdom is to have faith in the next moment. Don't hold on so much to this moment that you're not open to the next. There is a certain amount of faith that's necessary to live. You can affirm, you can do spiritual exercises, you can practice, you can bring your light to everything in your life. But all of us have to take a step in that chasm from here to there. And that's faith. And that's one thing we can all agree on. In every religion, in every spiritual practice, that ultimately we're called on to have faith. And if we're called on to have faith, then let's have faith in the God within and his, her presence working in our lives and through us for his, her own pleasure. Now, I think you all know I'm not a bit misogynistic, and I have to say his or her, and I'm going to use his for God from now on out, and I hope you all understand that I'm not trying to give weight to one or another. It's sometimes difficult to do his, her, she, him, etc. God's presence goes before you and uplifts you, and you do that through an act of faith, realizing, trusting yourself, much like you would trust yourself to the water if you swim. Much like you trust yourself to the dance when you're dancing. You have no particular place you need to arrive right then during a dance. You're dancing. You're living right here. You can have goals. You can have wonderful things you want to accomplish. Don't forget to bring your light to the process. Don't forget to affirm your own divinity in the process. There are so many shoulds and oughts and must-tos and have-tos that are laid down to us from the time that we're children. Sometimes our light begins to look like other people's. In other words, those that raised us, those that had an influence on us, we lose our individuality because we repress that we know is us in the name of conforming to something that somebody had for us that was proscribed and made them feel good. There is strength in numbers in a dysfunctional way. Many people come together to affirm their brokenness. Many people come together to say, I can't, I won't, to embrace negativity as a way of life. I'm not calling out any group particularly, but you know what I'm talking about. Those that seem to feed on the very worst inside them and others. I love metaphysics and unity and its attendant churches because we look at things from the highest point of view. Emerson said that prayer is a contemplation of the facts from the highest point of view. I agree with Ralph. I agree with those that have said you go inside and you find everything. Because you see, mind is all. This world wouldn't exist without your perception. Think of it this way. The sun wouldn't exist without your eyes to see it. Hard wouldn't exist without you knowing about something soft. There is a duality in this world that we create because we're seeing it black, white, up, down, side to side, when it's really all one. I think we're afraid to come out of the world. We have to say we're born into it from someplace on high. I believe we come out of it like the leaves come out of branches of a tree. This universe, this wonderful world is God's world, and we come out of it and we express for a time and we go back and we express again at another level. And we continue this learning and growing. And that's the wonderful part of it. There's never a time where you're finished. There's always something more to learn. There's always something more to get. And I don't mean materially. I'm talking about something to learn or get or practice in you. Somebody is going to present you with lessons you need to learn. And sometimes we don't like that. But every person out there is your teacher. So says A Course in Miracles, and I believe that. We are all teachers and students of one another. And if that is the case, then we should be ready, willing, and able to change our minds, to conform to love at all times. And love affirms the best, believes the best, hopes for the best. It's the sine qua non of the spiritual life. Love is all. And I have said and believe very deeply the sole purpose of life is to love and be loved. Taken from that vantage point, then you are given many opportunities to love yourself and to love others every day of your life. Even alone, there are things that will come up in your mind that you have to forgive yourself for or say, that's not part of me. That time can be very precious. That time spent alone in contemplation and meditation, that's a very, very important time. And it means many different things to many people. But we do know, as Carlyle said, silence is the element where great things fashion themselves. I've never seen a great experiment come to fruition when there was a lot of noise and talking and people being in a collective mindset that says, you do this, you do that. It comes from purpose aligned with presence that walks in to the infinite with calm confidence and trust. I can't reiterate that too much. Calm, confident trust. knowing that the love that you are sustains you. The light that you are lights you and everybody else. And that while you may describe an experience as the hardest you've ever had, something is happening for your highest good. And you bring your light there. Because I am also of the belief that we will repeat situations over and over again until we learn what we need to get out of it. We'll find it. You've probably heard the idea or the situation where somebody who has been in a relationship with an alcoholic or a drug addict or in some form of abuse will end one relationship and go to another just like the one they came out of. Because they prepared their mental ground that way. They feel that that is what they deserve. They are comfortable with that. They played a role in that, whether it was a codependent role or whether it was to uphold or to be angry, whatever it was, they feel comfortable there. That's why it's important to break out of comfort zones. That's why we call them that. They're made to be transcended. They're made for us to grow. Those that get in relationships that are not for their highest good and uphold each other in individual weakness fall of themselves. And when they crash, it takes so much out of each person. So much better to walk into a relationship whole as much as you can and say, this is who I am, and I don't want to change you. I want to be with you. I want to love you, and I want to see who you are without me telling you who you are and vice versa. Then it's like Khalil Gibran says, the trees aren't growing in each other's shadows. That's light in a relationship. Light in your work may mean leaving that job. It may mean looking for something that suits you better. Remember, Earl Nightingale said, success is the realization, progressive realization of a worthy ideal. He said that the person who is running the filling station on the corner because that's what he or she wants to do is a success. And I go further. Those that are happy and not hurting anyone else, no matter what society ranks them as or what job they have or don't have, are successful. Hurt people hurt people. Happy people lift other people. So when we see somebody that's of a contrary nature and we say, how do they get away with it? Why does it keep going on? Where's their light? I don't see it. Remember something. Happy people act happily. And the very negativity that they're throwing out, that you're maybe running into, proves that they're not happy. And you're a witness to it. You can also help heal it by your example. You know, they said many years ago, they said, unity is all about just one person. And it doesn't take into account other people. I heard that criticism. And I took umbrage. I said, actually, it seeks to make the person all that they can be, so that's what they take out into the world. We're meeting each other in a functional way and upholding ourselves in a happy, healthy way, not upholding ourselves through our weakness and our negativity. We don't come in here to affirm and reaffirm the things we don't like. We come in to affirm who we are, what we are, the blessing we are, and we want more of it. And so this week, I challenge each one of you to see what you can bring your light to, your holy special light, to something that you didn't think maybe you could affect, something that is maybe inside you or somebody you know that needs that light and that help. And nobody asked you to be perfect. That's why we're here. We learn and we grow by doing. I learned a bicycle by falling. I learned how to do things by what people would say is negative. I busted a few computers before I learned how to put them together again, take them apart and put them together. Matter of fact, just as a personal side, when I first met my lovely wife, She said her former boyfriend took these things apart, computers, and put them back together again. And I thought, well, I'm going to do that very thing. And I did. And I busted one, two, three, four. I mean, I really made a mess. But one day it worked because I kept at it. Because I didn't give up. Because I wanted to be at least as good as he was. And truth be told, I wanted her to tell him in some way that I was doing that. Isn't that strange? It's the way we can be. So when I learned how to do it, I actually didn't need to tell anybody. I was just so excited about learning more and more that I forgot all about that. And you will too if your motivation is something like that. It will become joy and learning for learning's sake, love for loving's sake, and life for living. So the light that you are, spread it out. Take it this week and give liberally of it to anybody you meet. Don't hold back your approbation. Be what you are, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and you become what you think about. We know that's true, so think the very best. And as always, I send you my very best. I uphold and support each one of you, and I love you. And I give you my very best, and so it is.